Welcome back to another installment of Red, White, and Misty Stories, the fastest growing podcast on the internet, I think.
We can only hope.
Yes, and I am your master of ceremonies, Patrick M. Dunn. And who am I here with today? Who's here with me right now?
I'm here in body and in spirit. I'm Jill Buck.
Yeah, we're live at the Mystery Amphitheater. What should our name of our studio be?
Conspiracy Cove.
Ooh, yeah, Conspiracy Cove. I like that, yeah. Like, I picture it like we're miles away from civilization. The world has ended around us.
Yeah.
A water world has taken place, and we're alone.
We're in that mystery bunker from Terminator 3.
Yeah.
That we end up in.
Yeah. And we have, like, the ability, we have this weird device that allows us to, like, bring people back to us for a short period of time, right? Do you think, like,
sure.
we have a weird computer. We type in a person's name, they come back to us.
Ooh, fancy. Which,
and I think we should use that computer simulation technology right now to bring back our scientist, our podcast scientist, Jay. He, all right, hold on. We got to type his info in. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
Magic noises.
What's the last four of his social? Okay, here we go. All right. He's coming. There's a weird shape. It's like Ace Ventura come out of a rhino's butt in When Nature Calls.
Yes.
He's here. He's here.
Please don't do that again.
Yeah. Sorry. Welcome to our island, our cove.
Yeah. I am here in body with spirits.
Yeah.
Yes.
We bring you back. You're like a Meeseek from Rick and Morty. So you only live long enough to serve your purpose.
Existence is pain.
Yeah. When we're done with you, you're just going to explode into a cloud of ash. And then we'll just crack open some coconuts and make more, like, boozy drinks out of it.
We'll hit another button and you'll come back.
Yeah.
Meeseeks, look at me.
when we need you, and just don't tap the button more than once, because we don't need more than two.
Yeah.
That becomes chaos, as we've seen.
And should we bring back Bruce the intern? Will we need him to plug in the the vine wire to our imaginary outlets here on this island?
I feel like we may need him at some point, especially given our increasing state of inebriation.
Yeah.
It might be good to have Bruce the intern back again, at least to yell at when we make mistakes.
All right, let me plug in the info. All right, he's back. We won't let him to speak. So I modified it so he's silent but deadly.
Oh, it's like the character in the end of the Wolverine Origins.
Oh, yeah.
Where they just, like, glued his mouth shut, basically.
Deadpool?
Yeah, but it wasn't exactly Deadpool.
But it was Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, but it was Deadpool, but the, like, fucked up version. Isn't there another name for that character?
Pool dead.
I feel like there's an alternate name that people on the internet have given that character.
Faux pool. I don't know who. Okay. If you know the answer, tweet us at Red Wine Mystery or send us a hot email at redwinemysteries@gmail.com.
Yep.
And tell us, correct us, so we can add it to the No Bone Zone segment of the podcast in which we, like, correct ourselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we've only done one correction so far.
Yeah, we only
have Avril Lavigne, Taylor Swift mix-up.
Yeah, sorry. So Jill sucks at her pop stars.
Wow, your accuracy percentage for being right is through the roof.
Yes. Well, no one else
really
is correct.
Good.
No one else has corrected us. And by no one else, I mean me, because I was listening back and I was like, oh, Jill was wrong. .com. That's our new website address, jillwaswrong.com, by the way.
Well, I feel like that's a valid, that's a valid one.
I was wrong, it was Earth all along. Have you seen that episode of The Simpsons? It was the Planet of the Apes.
Yes!
Musical.
Yeah, I'm Troy McClure.
Yeah, R.I.P. Troy McClure, wherever you are. We can bring him into our cove, our little conspiracy cove.
Yes, I would love to do
that. There's like a nice little, like, chemtrail cloud floating overhead. And a kraken, and, like, just offshore, just enough. Like, if we start to get, like, too far offshore, the kraken will get us, so we're stuck here forever. Mm. It's like the island from the Leonardo DiCaprio movie, The Beach.
I don't think I've ever seen
Ooh, it's a hot. We might have to watch that today. We're going to watch The Beach. After we finish recording, we're going to go watch The Beach.
All right.
Yeah.
We can do that.
Yeah, because we love to watch movies after we finish recording. That's, like, what we do. That's, like, the whole reason for the podcast. And did we even, like, say, like, the reason for the podcast? I don't think we did. We need, like, our theme, our mission statement.
Oh, God. I'll let you say our mission statement, because I think you created it and I had no part in it.
I did. All right. Our mission statement is, we drink red wine or Kraken rum. get drunk, and we talk about mystery stories. It could be murder, it could be UFOs, it could be ghosts, or it could be, we wrote down a bunch of topics, we put it in a hat that says Crime Pays, like a freaking Miami Vice blue hat. It says Crime Pays with a boat on it. We'll snap a pic and we'll put it on the our future Instagram page that will be hopefully coming out soon.
Yes.
And our scientist is going to pick the topic. I'm just going to like shake up all of our topics. And whatever we pick, we have to commit to. We are fully adverse on these topics, by the way. We've been up all night studying these. I mean, we live on an island. We have nothing else to do.
I mean, yeah, really. Like, there's nothing else to do here.
We make coconut radios so we can listen to Howard Stern.
And we relive our favorite episodes of, you know, TV series and movies.
Yep.
That just feed into our conspiracy theories again.
And then sometimes when we're bored, we summon Maria Shriver to our island and we ask her all these questions about Arnold Schwartz.
And she'll probably just swear at us and leave.
Yeah, usually she does. Usually she just swims out and gets attacked by the Kraken. And she's like, fuck y'all.
And then we have to summon her again, yeah. And it's the same thing over again. Yeah. And we haven't learned our lesson.
I know. Maybe we should summon different. Maybe we should summon the maid.
Ooh, she might be like ready to tell Arnold's her maid. Whole story. Like, origin story, Arnold's maid.
Maybe we'll get the tell-all on this podcast.
Ooh.
Yeah. If anyone wants to hear the hot scoop of Arnold Schwarz and his maid and his illegitimate son. Well, I mean, who's listening to this? Because the whole universe is dead. It's just
that's
us.
True.
Yeah, we're speaking
us.
To nobody. And whoever we create... with our magic button.
Yep, and then they're forced to listen to all our episodes up to the point where we're recording with them, and then they go mad. All
right, so we're going to hand the Crime Pays hat over to Jay. He's going to pull out a topic, and I hope it's a good one. I'm itching for a good one.
Yeah, all right.
And we're committed to it. All right, okay. Who wants to read? Who's going to do the honor? Should we summon Rhea Shriver? Should we try to get her? Or do you think she'll stab herself with that, like, sharp fucking knife object that we made
do
to cut up
her board? Social security number?
Yeah, the last 3, 2, 1, 4. We'll bleep that out.
that just got creepy.
All right. So, Jillian Buck.
Yes.
You have in front of you.
I have our
the
next
papyrus
topic.
Of
I
our
do.
Next topic. And is okay. Are we excited? Is it a good one?
Oh, you're going to be very excited.
Is it boner inducing?
I think it will be for you.
All right.
I don't have the capability for a boner, so I can't speak to that.
All right. Well, they're fun.
All right. I'll take your word for it.
All right. Drum roll. We're going to have to summon a drum. Maybe Ringo?
Ringo.
Famous drummer, Dave Grohl, maybe from Foo Fighter fame.
So, our topic is TWA.
Yes! Oh, girl! Damn, Gina. All right. We're getting into it. Hot times. 1996, right?
I'll go with that.
We've been talking about this for like 4 days now. We've been like texting each other back and forth, just offering our opinions, our theories, movies that are loosely related to it. Final Destination, we're looking at you, Devin Sawa, come on the podcast.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, tweet us at Red Wine Mystery. And you know what? Actually, Devin Sawa, one time I tweeted him, he replied to me. So, like, we're like bros now.
Oh, my God. You need to get him on the podcast.
I know. I feel like he'd come down. I'd pay, like, the $100 for him to fly down.
He needs to get here, like, tomorrow.
Yeah. I wouldn't even, like, summon him through that weird technology. I would actually, like, get him on a jet plane and get him over here. Just.
Oh, he's going to be leaving on a jet plane.
Ooh, like John Denver.
I was thinking of the song, but okay.
Does John Denver do Leave on a Jet Plane?
No.
Oh, who does that?
That's the not the Mamas and the Papas, the Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Oh, I think you're right.
On a jet plane.
No, hold on. According to YouTube, John Denver does a rendition of it as well.
There's probably several, but I thought the original was Peter, Paul, and Mary.
You know what? This is not the podcast for music history. If you want that, go to fucking BuzzFeed or something.
Good point.
Yeah, stuff you should know. What I don't know. Just go there. All right, so. I think we should bring up plane crashes are my bread and butter.
Okay.
That this is where I thrive.
Yeah,
this is my world.
This is like you're glued to the TV watching every second of news footage on the plane crash and making your own theories.
Yeah, ever since I was a little kid, a little tyke, just like, you know, in my little PJ pants, I was always fascinated by the thought of flight. Like just, you know, oh my God, I can wake up today, right now, in southeastern Massachusetts, my dumb little town, get on a fucking plane, and in like 4 hours be on the West Coast just chilling with celebs and the Hollywood sign. Look to my left, it's the Hollywood. Oh, what's that fucking Miley Cyrus song? Pardon the USA. Look to the right, it's the Hollywood sign. Yeah. It's a party in the USA. Yeah. I could be anywhere in the USA, literally. It's anywhere. True. Anywhere. Always just amazed by the idea of flight. Flying to Florida to chill with Pluto the dog. Not Mickey. I fucking love Pluto the dog. Who's your favorite Disney cartoon character?
I really actually enjoy Chip and Dale.
Ooh, yeah, Rescue Rangers. Yeah, yeah. Shout out to them. Ooh,
male strippers.
Yeah. We can summon them if you want. Yeah. You want a little Patrick Swayze and Chris Farley here?
Ooh, yeah. Yeah.
Hold on. Good sound scenario.
Uh-oh.
Chris Farley and Patrick Swayze are wrestling near a cliff. And they roll over, and you only have the arm strength to save one.
I'm sorry, but I don't think I have the arm strength to save either. But I gotta say, if I have a chance to save either one of them, it's probably gonna be Patrick Swayze. Oh, I'm sorry, okay. Chris Farley, but even if I drop Patrick Swayze, I think I wouldn't be able to pull him up.
Well, the world needs laughter, but you know what? We'll have to find laughter elsewhere. So, Chris Farley, we'll see you in the next life. But Patrick Swayze, come here.
He sit
on Jill's lap.
I'll sit on his lap, thank you.
Talk about the first thing that pops up.
Rare.
Clouds. but anyway, Chip and Dale, fave cat.
I like them even before the Rescue Rangers.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
they were like
the Mickey Christmas special that he did. And they did, they had the whole Christmas Carol fiasco part of it. But even before that, they had like some little shorts where Mickey was kind of narrating over the background.
Yeah, like,
and
throwing acorns at Donald or something.
Yeah, and where one of them was when the first time they ever met Chip and Dale, and it was like he goes and cuts down a Christmas tree and brings it into the house, and they were living in it.
Cute. That was an adorable episode. They had the lights and the little like glitter.
Yeah, and they're like stealing the like Christmas ornaments and stuff, and Pluto's like, dude, there's fucking vermins in our tree, and Mickey's like, Pluto, leave the tree alone.
Yeah,
you guys are assholes.
Is Mickey Mouse a drug addict? I just feel like he's on some super uppers.
He's like a super happy guy. I mean, he's got to be on something.
Yeah, I just
like on serious Prozac.
I want to get Mickey mad. That's like my life goal. Hashtag goals. Get Mickey mad.
All you have to do is watch some episodes of South Park for that.
Oh.
You little bastards.
Yeah. Is that the crossover with like all the
animation world?
Yeah. Animation domination.
No.
There's two episodes that feature Mickey. One is with the Jonas Brothers.
Oh.
And he's beating them up because they don't want to sell sex to little girls. And he's like, you fuckers are messing with my income. And he's like beating them in the face. And then another one after Star Wars got sold to Disney, and he shows up after like Cartman rigs the election. And he's like, what the fuck is going on here? Ho ho.
You always get the ho ho.
Yeah, he does that like every other sentence. He's just like, he ends it, he's like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
It's like a speed racer.
Yes.
Anyway, I don't exactly remember when the fear of the fear part of flight took over, but
okay.
I was young. I'm gonna say I was young. Maybe like 6 or 7.
Did you have a bad like flight experience that you remember?
I had one later on, but
somebody you know? Like did you like remotely know somebody that died in a plane crash or what happened there?
I don't know. Like maybe we have to do some like hypnosis session to remind me. But I just I remember one day, I don't know why. I just was like 6 or 7, fear took over. I was watching the news and saw a video clip of a plane crashing during landing, and it freaked me the fuck out because I didn't like ever fathom that such a thing could ever happen.
Was that actually a newscast, or was that like part of Die Hard 2, Die Harder? Because
that's
totally part of the movie.
It could be. I don't know. Like something I saw. Like I saw something on TV, whether it was a movie, a news program. Just what? I saw something that scared the fuck out of me, and Patrick's paranoia took over. We've talked about this in previous episodes. I am, like, frightened by this entire planet.
Yes.
I thought, like, a piece of, like, hay earlier was a snake. And I had, like, I did, like, a girly shriek.
He totally did. He did a girly shriek, kicked it, and said, I thought that was a snake. And I saw it last night when I got home from work and thought it was a snake, too.
And you would have thought that I would, like, realize it wasn't a snake, but no. Patrick's
after,
paranoia.
After, like, the fourth time seeing it, he's still like, ah! Yeah. And, like, kicks it. He goes, oh, I thought that was a snake.
Yeah, like, my testicles were cut off years ago. Like, they never dropped. They never dropped. I have an old Greg mangina. Anyway, Patrick's paranoia took over when I was really young, but flash forward, let's go back. So it's like the 80s or something. Now we're going to flash forward to the summer of 96. Mm-hmm. Summer of 1996, when Patrick M. Dunn is an awkward 14-ish-year-old with a wispy, like, peach fuzz mustache, and I wore the same oversized Kurt Cobain t-shirt, like, 3 times a week.
And I can totally picture that.
Yeah, you can see it right now.
Oh, I really can.
It's, like, literally what I'm wearing right now.
Yeah, it's practically what you're wearing right now, aside from your peach fuzz is a little bit more pronounced. So
it's, like, slightly thicker.
Yeah, slightly thicker.
But
you still have the baby face. You
yeah.
You probably pass.
I moisturize. So.
You probably pass for a 14-year-old, like,
yeah.
In movie world.
Yeah, I love when I tell people, like, my true age, and they're, like, I just gotta, like, pick their jaws up off the floor for them.
Jay had to do that one of the times we went into a liquor store, even though, like, we walked up to the counter and the guy carded us, and he was like, whoa, I never would have figured that for your age. And he was like, all right,
get over it, dude. That guy probably says it, like, 11 times a day.
Probably does.
Yeah, it's, like, his thing. Like, it's his, like, his little, like, skitch or something.
Yeah,
it's like, hey,
I gotta make somebody feel better. They're in here buying booze. I'm gonna lift their spirits a little bit.
Is this your first time buying booze, boy?
It's his catchphrase.
Is Papa out there right now waiting for you to come back with his with your Kraken rum or whatever? July 17th, 1996. This is a monumental day for me. This is a fucking monumental day. I just remember I came home from, I don't know, brooding or whatever I did at 14-ish years old. I flipped on the telly. Late one evening after a day of splashing around a pool, maybe? Or getting sunburned or something? It was the 90s.
With your complexion, I would believe the getting sunburned.
Well, I actually tan very well. Like, right now I'm pale as fuck because, like, it's winter, but...
Okay.
I went to the pool one day last year, and the lady's like, wow, you tan really well. I was like, thank you, lady. I've never met before. I like you. Let's be friends. Here's my newsletter. Anyway,
here
pussies...
Here are all my beauty tips.
Yeah. You know, it was the 90s. I wasn't wearing sunblock, because pussies wear sunblock. Let's just get that out of the way. It's a joke. All right. Anyway. Some local news hottie drops a bombshell that TWA Flight 800... Yes, TWA Flight 800 has exploded dramatically off the south shore coast of Long Island en route to Paris from JFK in just a mere, like, 12-ish minutes into the flight. Like, it wasn't even at, like, cruise and altitude yet. It was, like, it was
just
ascending.
Like, taken off.
Yeah.
Like, okay. All right. Quick question, because I feel like this is just mirroring this incident. When did Final Destination come out?
All right. Final Destination came out. If you listen to my other podcast, a very special podcast, we talked about Final Destination in depth. You can hear some of my Patrick paranoia in it. It came out in the spring of the year 2000. The year 2000 echo effect.
Ooh. So I kind of wonder, like, how much of that was just based on TWA Flight 800, because seriously, that plane blows up, like, in the ascension.
Yes. All right. Bullet points. Are you ready for some... some bullet points? Final Destination related bullet points. Okay.
Yep.
Final Destination came out in the year 2000. It was originally written as a treatment for an X-Files episode, Hot Scoop.
Yeah.
For some reason, Fox or the producers didn't want to go forward with it, so they sold it off as a movie. And the movie is loosely based on TWA Flight 800. As a matter of fact, a lot of the clips they show in the movie, mm-hmm. like the document clips from the crash,
yep.
are actually TWA Flight 800 clips.
I didn't know that.
Yes. So when they show, like, the crash, and they show, like, the wreckage float in the ocean, it's actually TWA Flight 800. And the plane was actually taken off from JFK to Paris, and there were students on board, and that was, like, a big thing on TWA Flight 800. There were students on board.
Yeah,
so,
like, burned to a crisp and died horribly.
Yeah. So it was based on some facts. Obviously, they added a twist to the movie that...
What a twist.
Yeah, what a twist. So Flight 800 and Final Destination are kind of, they go hand in hand.
And I do enjoy the fact that they, even though it got kind of declined as an X-Files episode, they kind of kept the whole Mulder and Scully dynamic with the FBI characters. And I gotta say, I even enjoyed it because I watched this, like, what, last week?
Yes, you texted me about it.
Yeah.
And you were like, we have to do an episode about TWA Flight 800.
Yeah.
And I was like, girl, I already got all the notes.
Yes. So I enjoyed the little, like, just
jabs.
Well, no, just the some of the details that they kept, like the guy that was the Scully-like FBI agent had glasses. And
yeah,
Dana Scully wears glasses in the X-Files, and like the guy who was the Mulder type character doesn't have them, and
he's like fidgety kind of.
Yeah,
like,
and he's very like Mulder-esque. And I'm like, okay, did they make these people watch like a lot of episodes of the X-Files to get those character types down?
Yeah, the
before they played these characters, because they basically were them.
Yeah, the nuances were there. Yeah. It was great. It's like, but the characters, like, they show up very early on, but you don't get the full character development to like mid. Way into the movie, and you're like, holy fuck.
Much later, yeah.
So as soon as you find out that it was originally like an X-Files treatment, you're like, I see it. Like, yeah. I see Mulder and Scully in these two characters. So it's amazing. Yeah. And I was like, you know what? This would have been a great X-Files episode.
It would have. It totally would have been great.
I know. And like, I try to like imagine, like, would it be a comical episode? Like, what? Where would it go? Like, where was...
I feel like this would have been a serious episode for them.
Yeah.
But, you know, Mulder would have originally thought it was alien-based.
Yeah.
And then Scully is like, no, that's not a thing. Get over yourself. There's no freaking aliens. And then there would have been all these like mysterious deaths, and she wouldn't have had an explanation for it, but she still would have been steadfast that it wasn't aliens. And
yeah,
Mulder would have like come up with this other theory about death taking over and whatever.
I feel like it would have been too ambitious though for TV though. Like there's a lot to it. And I feel like even Final Destination didn't have time to get into like the mythology of it. Like it spanned several movies. Like yeah, where it really got into it.
It's true. But I mean, I think they could have trimmed out some of the fat, like, and made it an X-Files episode. Like they didn't have to go into a lot of the in-depth character analysis with some of the characters.
Yeah.
Like they keep bringing in certain things that in certain ways didn't feel as organic to the movie, but if they had trimmed that out and made it an X-Files episode where, like, you didn't see the whole scene with the car being stuck on the train tracks and stuff, and you just heard about the death and Mulder, like, researching it, I think that would have flowed a little bit more organically than the movie did.
Yeah, well, because, I mean, X-Files is technically about, like, Mulder and Scully and their journey.
Right.
And the victims are just an unfortunate circumstance.
Right, and they're just kind of like a footnote.
Yeah, so, like, in a way, they could have made it work. Like, who knows? Mm-hmm. Like, we watch episodes of, like, The Jersey Devil of the X-Files, and it's like, you know what? This could have been a movie, but it's not a movie.
Right,
so.
And I think that's an underrated episode. I like that episode.
Yeah, the whole first season. We've talked about this before on the podcast. The whole first season is amazing. Every episode, even the ones that people think are shitty, are great.
It's entirely true. The beginnings of the X-Files was just magic. It was pure magic.
It was 1994. We were in like a brave new world of Bill Clinton as president. We weren't ready for it.
We weren't ready for his, you know, policies on blowjobs in the Oval Office.
Yeah, or just like him covering up tons of things like we're going to get into in a little bit.
Yep.
And just, I don't know, like... Are the Clintons covering up a lot of things? I feel like they are. I feel like they're responsible for a lot of things. And this could be a future episode of the podcast, I think. Sorry, don't murder us as a result.
Yeah. Seriously.
Sonny Bono, whatever happened to him, were the Clintons involved?
We'll get into that in later.
Yeah. Cher, if you have any inputs, tweet us.
Fun fact, Cher turned down her opportunity to be on an episode of The X-Files, and then later after seeing the product...
Regretted it. Yeah, and you know what? She did lend her music, though.
She did. She lent, like, a few songs, which was great of her, but then later she was like, I should have just freaking been in the episode. And I agree, Cher. I think you made a mistake there. Granted, your career didn't suffer for it, but I think it would have just been, like, awesome if you were actually...
And you know what I think would have been really fit in? Do you believe she should have been on the X-Files and X-Files?
So then she went on Friends instead.
Ugh.
It's true. Right.
Well, shout out to Jennifer Aniston. We like you.
Will and Grace.
Oh, okay.
All right. Deborah Messing? Who do we like on Will and Grace?
I really like Sean Hayes.
Okay. You know what? Low-key, I've never really watched Will and Grace.
Oh my god, it's so funny.
We'll watch it after we watch whatever we're supposed to watch earlier.
Yeah, we're going to watch a lot while we're here.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed Will and Grace, especially the original series. I do like their new stuff. I'm kind of sad that they didn't keep in the final season of the original series, but I understand why they didn't.
They did it to Roseanne, too.
Yeah.
Don't rewrite history.
Yeah, because I thought that was a fantastic series finale with the original Will and Grace. But I understand why they couldn't keep that and make it work with a new reboot. But yeah, Sean Hayes is freaking hilarious in it, and he's the one with the, like, Cher obsession. His character is Jack, and he actually runs into her in a restaurant. And she, because he's like saying
Cher doesn't go to restaurants.
Right. He says something about Cher, and she's like, excuse me. And he's like, you're kind of a bad Cher impersonator if you don't know how to actually sing her songs and everything. And she's like, she whips out some serious, you know, lyrical whatever. And he's like, you don't have the syntax right. You're not putting enough emphasis on this. And he's like, you can't say just time. You got to say tome. And she's like, no, that's not a thing. And he's like, tome.
What was that Farrelly Brothers movie that had Cher in it? It has Matt Damon and it's
like, oh, and like Stuck on You.
Yeah.
Stuck on You.
Oh,
I really enjoyed that as well.
Such a great movie.
She was totally, her character in that movie was dating, what's his name from Malcolm in the Middle?
Bryan Cranston?
No. The kid.
fucking Frankie Muniz?
Yes! Yeah, because
it's been a while since I've seen it, but you know,
he's like watching the show that she's trying to get canceled or whatever, and he's like, this is actually really good, and she's like, shut up, don't you have school in the morning?
But you know what's great? She played herself. She did. She has a great sense of humor, too.
She does, and I appreciate that.
And you know what? Her, like, I love her Twitter because she, like, has spelling errors and stuff on it, so, like, she doesn't have, like, someone looking over it.
That's kind of great that she, like, takes care of her own Twitter.
It's just Cher waking up in the morning and be like, I'm going to tweet this. And she, like, fucking spelt, like, there. She did the wrong there. And so, like, or your.
You
so
know, like, I give her credit. She may have spelling errors and not edit her work, but at least she's doing it herself.
Yeah, it's not paying. It's not like fucking intern. Denise Richards paying some fucking stupid publicist company
in
Boston.
She doesn't have Bruce the intern doing
it. Yeah, Bruce the intern. Bruce is like tweeting right now for us. And Renway Mystery, he's like writing. Hold on. We just double check his work. All right, it's good. Post it.
I'm the official editor of Bruce's work because I don't trust him.
Yeah, Jill is our.
Poor Bruce.
Grammographer. Is that a word? Is that a thing?
We'll make it a word. We're adding that to Webster's dictionary right now.
Webster, call us. Yes. Call us right now. I'm going to tweet my phone number. Call us. All right. Are you ready for the facts? Are you ready for the fucking facts?
Lay some facts on me, Patrick.
TWA Flight 800 on Wednesday, July 17th, 1996, at 8:19 p.m. Eastern Time. TWA Flight 800 took off. Yes, it took off from JFK Airport. And headed out over Long Island towards Paris. Heading, eastward?
Don't look at me.
It was a perfect summer night.
Jay, do you know more geography than I do? I'm sure you do.
Yeah, I would be traveling east.
Okay, there you go. Good. Never look at me for directional input.
Sorry.
It's not a good idea.
Sorry, world. All right, it was a perfect summer night. 70 degrees, the sky was clear. 12 minutes later, at approximately 13,700 feet, TWA 800 exploded midair, killing all 230 people on board. The crash was close enough to the coast that plane wreckage washed up on Suffolk County beaches for weeks. Yes, for weeks, girls. Weeks. All right. We're going to get some quotes, direct quotes. There was a wall of flame 30 feet high. Suffolk County Police Officer Vincent Termine, who witnessed the explosion, told The Independent in 1997... He said it looked like the ocean was on fire. Yeah. Termine headed out to sea with rescue crews immediately, like right away. He's a fucking hero. This guy's a fucking hero. We should make a statue of him and just put it anywhere because he's a hero.
Replace like, some of the old racist statues with it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he was just chilling on his little like Long Island beach homestead. He was probably like, on summer vacation with his fam. And he probably saw the wall of fire and he fucking probably like hopped in his little like beach canoe thing, fucking headed out to sea, and direct quotes, "We tried to get close to a piece of burning wreckage at the beginning," he said. "I remember operating the boat between flames, but we couldn't get close enough. The smoke was making us sick. One of the guys had to throw up over the side." So just like picture that. Fucking picture that. It's probably
like
hot.
Toxic.
Yeah, it's hot jet fuel burning.
Yeah.
Black smoke. You can't, like, you get close, you're choking to death.
There's no oxygen for you to breathe because the fire is burning it all
just
up.
An awful fucking scene, and it's just awful. Anyway, we're now, like, what, 22 years later?
Sure.
1996, we're 20, yeah, like, 22 years later, just coming up.
Yep.
The crash of TWA 800 remains a subject of horror and fascination for us. Especially for, like, New Yorkers. Especially, like, Long Islanders.
Well, yeah, because that was, like, a local thing.
Yeah,
it's, and like... that's pretty... That hits close to home. Like, you gotta think... People flying out of that airport, they would have all been, like, local people.
Yeah.
So there's got to be a shit ton of, like, family members and friends that all knew them that are still alive that just, like, that's a horror that they lived through, knowing that probably you could see that for, like, miles and miles.
Yeah.
Everybody saw that fucking explosion and knew that their loved one was most likely on that plane and just, like, or, was devastated.
Yeah, and, like, it's, all right, it's summer. Lyon is packed with fucking people. People,
yep.
People to the brim, to the windows and the walls.
Let's not go down that road.
We won't. Just packed with people. And, like, all right, this is, like, wild. So this is, like, a pre 9/11 world. So, like, we don't, yeah. Like, we know terrorism exists. Like, it's something we fear. We haven't, like, quite experienced it. Like, I know, like, in 1994-ish, like, the World Trade Center was, like, bombed in the parking garage.
Yeah,
Oklahoma City happened.
Right. But it wasn't as, like, widely spread and, like, yeah. Well-known and just, like a big, as we didn't, big a deal, as horrible as that sounds.
Like, we didn't change our world because of it. And, like, right. This is even before, like, the Olympics, the 1996 summer Atlanta Olympics hadn't even happened yet, so, like, we didn't even know about the bomb in there, so, like,
yep.
This is just, like, a world we aren't ready for yet.
Right.
We're in the Clinton years, everything's great.
Yeah, like, seriously, the 90s were pretty damn skippy.
The 90s were good, Friends was on the air.
Yeah.
Will and Grace? No, this is probably pre-Will and Grace.
No, Will and Grace was on the air in the 90s,
It started in 98. It said in 98.
Oh, okay. This was pre-Will and Grace.
Yeah, then. We're pre-Will and Grace. Yeah. X-Files is definitely on and, like, kind of building on this, like, conspiracy bubble.
Yep.
So
we're in our individual conspiracy dens because we haven't met and we're watching the X-Files, like, and going, oh, it could happen.
Anxiety isn't bringing us down, like, basically. Right. Like, we watch the X-Files and we, like, laugh at it. Like, oh my God, imagine a world where, like, everything is fucking crazy. We haven't even experienced that yet. But yeah. I think, and I think that is, like, what makes this story fascinating, because this is kind of, like, the first time we really, the internet is new. We're now, like, connected to a widespread of people.
I didn't even have the internet yet.
But a lot of people did. Like, 1996, right. 1997, MSNBC was just, like, starting.
Yep. People are starting to have, like, email addresses. And
yes, AOL keywords.
And creating their GeoCities websites.
Yeah, I was, like, doing a GeoCities page for, like, Super Mario 64 or something. I had some crazy GeoCities pages back in the day. World Pronoun GIF Maker, Patrick M. Dunn, 1997. But, all right, so, like, the world is now connected, and so, like, now they're, like, getting together and seeing, like, hey, this is weird. It's, like, something's not adding up about this. This is, like, the first time that a large base of people are, like, talking about this. So this is very life-changing, basically. This is, like, this is, like, the first, like, other than, like, Kennedy, this is, like, the first, like...
Like
super information highway era conspiracy.
Yeah, right here, there's Flight, like, a lot of shit. Like, everybody knows about this. It's widely known, and everybody's afraid, and everybody's, like, questioning why it happened and trying to look for answers.
So the NTSB, they did this, like, 4-year-long investigation. They spent fucking, all right, $20 million. Just think of that, $20 million. This is how much they spent on trying to, like, figure out what brought TWA Flight 800 down. And they combed through the record, they operated environment scenarios, they did interviews, and in conclusion, in fucking conclusion...
Don't snore, he's just making it for me, sorry.
All right, there's a dog underneath, like, our recording equipment right now.
He's laying on my feet and keeping my feet warm, and he's just snoring, and it's great.
If the mic picks it up, we apologize. It's just, you have to deal with the elements. This is an island. There's a dog here. We summoned a dog. We needed a pet.
We did. Yeah. He keeps us sane.
Yeah. But anyway... in conclusion, after $20 million, the NTSB, their whole, like, 4-year-long investigation, they concluded, are you ready for this?
Oh, lay it on me.
All right. I have so many questions, and that's why I'm glad we have a scientist here tonight. In fucking conclusion, it was concluded that a short circuit in the plane's center wing fuel tank caused the crash. So, like, an explosion happened because of, like, a short circuit.
All right, so a short circuit happened, and, like, just threw some sparks into the gas tank or whatever, the fuel tank.
I guess, like, there wasn't enough fuel in there or the vapors or something to cause the explosion. And I don't know, I'm confused because they made a big deal about this. Like, this is something that is common, but, like, you've never heard about this before. This is, like, the first time it's ever happened.
Yeah, it's, like, the general public has never heard about this before because the less known, the better, you know, as far as public knowledge for a lot of people. That's the way everybody looks at it, is the less you know about how everything works, the better, because if you know too much, you're going to just freak out and cause a panic.
And I feel like if this was a thing, like, if this was legit, this would have happened more in time, and we'd have heard about it more. And people are like said, like, hey, this happened in the 1972, I don't know, fucking, there's TWA, yeah, whatever, the TWA flight 72 or something.
Right,
I just made up a flight.
Yeah.
Pan Am or something, I don't know.
But
like, this is like the first plane that's like it's ever happened to. So it's like, it's weird.
And they do make it seem like it's this just commonplace thing that occurs. Okay, well then if it's this commonplace thing that occurs, why haven't more planes just blown up in the sky?
Yeah, and like supposedly they corrected this like weird malfunction. And it's just like, okay. All right, so this has never happened before. They analyzed all the wreckage, spent $20 million, took them 4 years, they fucking pieced all these pieces together.
Listened to the black box
and fucking interviewed eyewitnesses and just anyone.
Sean William Scott.
Yeah, Sean William Scott. whoever had an opinion. Fucking Stifler. Oh, God. God rest. In my fantasy world, Stifler is, like, passed away.
The character, maybe.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
I don't mean Sean William Scott is alive and well, and he's probably, like, he's like, I don't want to be an actor anymore. I just want to, like...
Yeah, because he didn't want to be Stifler anymore, and I can totally respect that.
Yeah.
And like, I gotta say, I want to have him on the podcast, because I think he'd be phenomenal.
Yeah. You know what? His character on Final Destination is my favorite Sean William Scott character ever. He's, like, the sweetest thing.
He's great in Final Destination. I don't think he's my favorite Sean William Scott character ever because I really do love him in Evolution.
Oh, yeah, he's great. Shout out to David Duchovny.
Yep, and we just watched that the other night, like before we made the trip down. That was one of the things we watched because
you were getting in the mood for like future-y type things.
I just really wanted to watch it. And like, he's so great. And I gotta say, shout out to him for having a, like, seriously underrated singing voice.
Yeah.
He's fantastic. He makes it, he, like, it seems like he was told to make himself try and sound like a bad singer, but he lets it shine through with You Are So Beautiful, and he's, like, rubbing some funk on it, just like Orlando Jones suggested.
Ooh.
And he's great. He's, like, he actually has a very nice singing voice, and I don't think he gets enough credit for that.
Yeah.
So shout out to you for that, Sean William Scott.
He's typecast. He's typecast as, like, the asshole type character, but he's great. He really is.
Yeah. I feel like he's got more depth than that, and I think he needs to be given more of a chance.
I know. Sean William Scott, if you hear this, tweet us at Mystery and just come
email
on.
Us redwinemysteries@gmail.com.
We'll fly you out.
Hear from you.
We'll fly you to the conspiracy cove.
Yeah,
we'll teleport you here and we will just like, I don't know, maybe we'll like take you out to dinner. Red Robin, Chili's, what do you like? Whatever you like. I don't even care. You like your choice.
Hibachi?
Dealer's choice.
Yes. Yes.
It'll be great. It'll be a fucking fun night.
I will be totally starstruck. I'll have little like diamonds in my eyes just looking at you with my mouth open.
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe this is actually happening.
Bring your friends if you want. We don't care.
Fuck yeah.
Bring your bros.
Who are you kidding? You're going to be like, what does David Duchovny smell like?
Yeah. I might ask.
What does David Duchovny look like in jeans?
Can you get David Duchovny on the phone? Does he have his teacup with him? Because that's a necessity.
Yeah. What's underneath a teacup? We need to know. Dying questions.
We need to know. Boom.
So, David.
I think for our listeners' reference, because I don't know if everybody knows what we're talking about, there is a photo of David Duchovny with a tea set, and that's it. And
he has a teacup.
Teacup in a very, very specific location.
Intimate place.
And you know what? I will post the photo in our Facebook group.
Yes.
And maybe Patrick will post it in our Twitter page, because it's something that everyone in the world needs to see because it's pure magic.
I think everyone knows it, though. Like, a part of me like feels like this is like should be taught in school.
I gotta say, you know, it should be taught in school. I am totally on board with
that. It's like, you read Greta Expectations, and the next day, it's fucking David Duchovny's like... tea kettle photo.
Yes. I gotta say, though, I had never seen it until you sent it to me years and years ago.
And it's like a, we, like, it's a recurring gag in our life. It's
it
like
is,
a
it is. It's something that, like, if I don't have a response to something funny he said, I'll just, like, send back the Duke Company photo with the teapot, because it just explains it all.
Yeah, it's just, it, the truth is out there, and it's underneath that teacup.
Oh, yes. That teacup in lies the mystery of the universe.
That's you know, Mulder's always talking about the truth. The truth is there.
Scully
just needs to be thirsty one night. And
I believe she has been more than once, and I am so in love with that whole, like,
she side. Whispers into his ear, "Hey, Mulder, I believe you after all these years. Let me just lift that teacup up.
Let's drink the tea together,
yeah,
baby.
To the queen." He's like, "Huh? What are you talking about? Oh. Okay, here we go. Let's do it. Let's do it, Skull." And scene.
Boom.
I made this.
Yes. All right.
Are you ready for some like hot takes on TWA Flight 800?
Yes.
All right, I kind of want to do a little, like, counterpoint. Mm-hmm. I did a little counterpoint, because you know what? We don't want to be, like, one-sided. We have to, like, see things from, like, both angles.
Well, that's why we have our scientists.
Yeah, but, like, I you know what? I was, like, I kind of felt, like, bullied by it, so I wanted to do my own investigation. I was like, you know what? We're going to summon a fucking scientist to our island, where we're just, like, running around Gilligan-style. And I don't know, like,
ooh, Gilligan's Island. That's a whole other podcast that we can get into, with the whole theme being that Gilligan is the devil, and all of the characters are each represent a
deadly sin.
A deadly sin.
I believe it.
I freaking love that theory.
All right, we'll get to it. So stay tuned, folks. Follow us at everywhere we just mentioned. All right. So as part of the counterpoint, journalist Christine Negroni. Hopefully, I said that right. She specializes in aviation and travel. That's, like, her specialty. And she believes the conspiracy theory to be nothing but hogwash. And states that Boeing, the makers of the Boeing 747 that exploded off the coast of Long Island, they weren't exactly, like, saying, "Hey, that airliner made some pretty deliberate attempts to keep investigators from," like, she's just saying, like, "Oh, that, like, these explosions, we're going to cover this up. Like, us, the makers of the plane, the faulty wiring. Ooh, shit, we got these faulty wirings. We need to, like, do something about it." And just kind of was, like, shuffled it under the rug. "Oh, like, you know what? People on the internet are outcrying that it's the Clintons. Let's go with this. So, like, we definitely got detractors. Like, so Bowen's not shouting from the rooftop saying, like, "We did this. We fucked up. It's our fault." And I don't blame them. Like, they have a product to sell.
Yeah.
And they sell to, like, a million different airliners, Delta.
Exactly. They don't want to be, like, you know, commit suicide basically in the market by saying, "Hey, we fucked up," because then everybody's going to stop buying their product.
That is, like, kind of like the counterpoint to it. And what is your take, Jay? Like, you're the scientist. Like,
well, it sounded like a lot of the conspiracy theories were derived from the fact that they weren't releasing the names of the people that were on the plane. They were, like, releasing it, like, piecemeal.
Oh,
so, yeah. So, like, there were a lot of people kind of just waiting to hear about their loved ones, and they weren't getting confirmation that so-and-so was on the plane.
Yeah, well, like, I mean, yeah, this is, like, kind of probably pre, like, scan technology. It's just, they just take a ticket, they probably took the ticket stub, and it was, like, in a little desk drawer or something, and they looked at it later.
But, I mean, anything we know about, like, flights, even pre-9/11, that, you know, they were 100% knowing, like, who was on the plane and who wasn't on that plane.
In his book, all right, we're going to get into it. In his book, TWA 800, The Crash, The Cover-Up, and The Conspiracy, author Jack Cashel maintains that the plane was brought down by external forces, and the government has engaged in a decades-long cover-up. While Cashel, I'm probably saying his name wrong, I don't care, but he rehashes old conspiracy theories that a U.S. Navy ship, which was, in fact, in the area, conducted a wartime exercise gone awry. Yeah, so, or either that, or a terrorist on the ground used a shoulder-mounted surface-to-air missile, or a small plane collided with a 747. So it's telling that, like, 20 years later, that these theories still find traction. Personally, myself, I think it was some type of military exercise gone wrong. There's a lot of witnesses they claim to see, like, more than one. It's not just, like, one or two people. It's, like, multiple people. I think there's, like, dozens, maybe even, like, up to 100 people saying they saw, like, a streak going into the sky.
Okay, like a trail from, you know, like a
missile or a projectile of some kind, yes. And they saw it go up, then it came downward, you know, it got as high as it could, and it came downward and hit
gravity.
Because of gravity. And then they saw an explosion, which was the plane, because it collided with the plane. So, I don't know. I guess we had different technology back in the late 90s.
It's true. This does feel very X-Files-esque of an explanation. It really sounds like something that, like, Mulder would want to initially investigate because he thinks there's aliens involved, and then there would be this, like, actual explanation based on, like, oh, military test of something that, like, Scully would find and be like, yo, dude, seriously, stop with the aliens. It was just us, and there was, like, a malfunction of some testing technology, and we fucked up, and the government kind of wants to hide it because they don't want the military portrayed in negative light.
Yes, but like, another part of me just thinks, like, the Long Island area just seems like a shitty place to do, like, tests like this, because it's kind of, like, well-populated. You got Connecticut to the north of you, you got Long Island to the south of you, and, like, in the middle, you got...
Wasn't, like, 3 Mile Island off of New York?
Yeah, I mean, that was a power plant. That was, like, a nuclear power plant.
Right, but there was still a malfunction, and, like, it almost didn't... It was melted down, and, like, that's, like, a huge deal.
Yeah, but, like, why would the military go out in between Connecticut and Long Island and just test, like, missiles?
Depends on where the bases are, because you gotta think about it. Like, there are military bases in a lot of the well-populated areas.
Yeah, but, like, they're gonna just shoot rockets into the sky... And
that
then,
close to the Atlantic, they would probably be estimating that they'd land in the ocean and not actually cause any damage. So it kind of makes sense.
Unless you have, like, drunken sailors. Like, just...
Well, what do you do with a drunken sailor?
Ooga. Ooga. Well, all right. Answer that question. Tweet us. What would you do with a drunken sailor?
Somebody's going to literally, like, just tweet us the lyrics to the song.
Hey, can you show me your missile? Can you launch it for me? Baby. Baby, right. Baby, baby.
And this is just getting into, like...
But you know what, reference. Though? I just think of, like... All right. We can't say, like... The military are young people. They're like 20, 21, 22. They're not like the brightest balls in the bulb, all the time.
I don't know. I'd like to think that the people that are in charge of the, like, you know, launch systems are actually fairly knowledgeable, and that's why they've gotten into that position.
You never know. I mean, it could be someone, like, they're out at sea. They've just been, like, sailing all day.
Or they just hit the fucking wrong button because they're tired. They, like, fell asleep on the keyboard. And they're just, like... They did that whole thing where they're leaning against their hand and their head falls off their hand and they jerk up, but their chin actually hit a button on the way down.
Everybody has a shitty day. Like, you know, like, you can be the fucking most skilled person in the world and you can have a shitty day.
It's true.
Yeah. It happens. It happens to the best of us.
Yep.
So it could happen to someone at sea. They've been, like, at sea doing these stupid, like, war exercises for, like, 10 days.
And somebody actually hit the button instead of just pretending while they were, like, planning... You know, while they were, like, running a drill or something.
Yeah, you never know. We don't know this shit. Like, they weren't supposed... Maybe they brought out the wrong missile projectile.
It was supposed to be a blank, but it was actually...
I didn't know the words. I didn't know the correct terminology. Like, the wrong... What? we're not in the military.
No, we're,
like,
not. Yeah. Not even close. I apologize to the branches of our military and the people serving to protect
us. Thank you for your service, but...
Yeah, but we're going to make fun of you. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, we're going to make fun of ourselves, not knowing that, enough about you.
That's true.
But, another thing that I read, all right, so 1996.
Yeah.
It was a presidential election year, and theorists believe that the Clinton administration had cause to engage in a cover-up. The internet was in its infancy, and this mystery became one of the first stories to go viral. So this is, like, our first viral, like, story, really.
Interesting.
Mm. Yeah, so, like, I don't know, I kind of think there's, like... Like a leg in this. Like, I don't know. Like, low key, I think the Clintons are kind of shady. I don't know. I'm just gonna throw this out there. Well, sorry if, like, you're, like, a Hillary fan or a Bill fan, but
I mean, Hillary, I feel like, would have been the lesser of two evils in our last election.
But I you know.
But I mean, you know,
Sonny Bono. That's got future episode. We'll get into it.
But I mean,
share at let us know.
Like, yeah, add some seriously. Traction to this. But like Bill Clinton, I mean, he obviously was like prioritizing having his dick sucked in the Oval Office.
But I mean, sex has nothing to do with it. Love's got nothing.
Well, I don't
know.
I mean, missiles are kind of like. They're one of those things that you see in movies like the Naked Gun movies or something as a, you know,
metaphor.
As a metaphor for like, you know, an erect penis and things like that. So maybe there's something to it.
So a rocket launching into the sky over Long Island Sound is a metaphor for Bill Clinton's penis going into Monica Lewinsky's mouth.
Sure, let's go with that. That's officially the story now. Right. That's officially our
so theme. Whatever happens in Bill Clinton's bedroom happens in real life.
It didn't even happen in Bill Clinton's bedroom. Well, it happened in his office.
Yeah.
Like, damn.
Yeah, where he works, where all his documents are.
Yeah, that's some shady shit.
He's got to put some signatures on papers and there's like smears on them.
This is a little sticky and crusty, dude. What happened?
Now that's what I call a sticky situation.
Can you help me redact these documents with some whiteout?
Ooh, God. All right.
Boom.
Are you ready for some hot scoops?
Give us the hot scoops later.
All right. So the Daily News. Are you familiar with the Daily News? Like,
I think.
All right. The Daily News. We love the Daily News. All right. In April 2015, former pilot Captain Andy. Do you know Captain Andy?
Not personally.
All right. So he sat down with the Daily News and all right. Fun fact. We love him. Like, he's great. Captain Andy Danziger, the colorful and controversial captain whose Daily News aviation column. So he had a column, like a regular column. Called This Is Your Captain Speaking. He dropped some sweet articles over the years, including the time, this is like even going back in time, including the time that he candidly wrote about the time he encountered a UFO in the 1980s while piloting a commercial flight, feature app, well, we'll find it, we'll get into it. And hold on, get this. In 2008, on election day, he served as Obama's personal pilot. Ooga. But, all right, sadly, 6 months after he wrote this article in 2015 about TWA Flight 800, he died of cancer. So, Conspiracy Corner?
Conspiracy Corner.
Who knows? We don't know.
He was redacted from the record by the government.
Anyway, his basic idea, he said that lots can go wrong with an airplane. Engines can fail. They can catch fire. Devices can malfunction. Pilots can make errors. But jets, yes, girls, jets and boys, jets do not explode out of nowhere in midair. It doesn't happen. Faulty wires is a myth. That's his belief. Like, that doesn't happen. Ooh, that's just a myth.
So he's, like, calling him out and saying, dude, your excuse for TWA 800 is fucking bogus.
A fucking real-life pilot who flew planes for years. Flew fucking Obama, our 44th president? He was our 44th president?
Yeah.
Okay. 44th president. He flew him on election day to wherever he wanted to go. I don't know. Who knows? Mar-a-Lago? Maybe. Sorry.
No one goes there.
Anyway, he had a problem with a theory that the accident was officially attributed to the explosion of fuel vapors in an empty center fuel tank.
Okay.
That was probably ignited by a spark from a faulty fuel quantity probe inside the tank. And I'm just like paraphrasing right here because these are just words I don't know. So he thinks this is fucking hogwash. He says there wasn't a single piece of cracked insulation in the 159 miles of wire recovered in the investigation. And he says conveniently, the lengths of wire where the cracks were imagined to exist were supposedly among the 16 miles of wire. Yeah, so there's fucking wires everywhere in this plane that weren't recovered. And he says this happened for a good reason. And there's this. This is what he added. During the investigation, the FBI periodically required everyone to leave the hangar where they had all the wreckage due to national security issues. Only after they sterilized the area were folks allowed back in to continue where they left off. That is, if what they were examining was still there. So, ooh.
Ooh, that's totally... Can we reference X-Files again?
Yeah.
There was totally a more recent episode where there was, like, a bunch of charred pilots that we watched. and somebody was telling Mulder, you know, inside scoop, and then all of a sudden they disappeared, and then all the evidence disappeared that they were referring to. That was a newer season, right?
Yeah.
That was one of the newer season ones. Yeah, that's totally like reference to this.
So are you ready for some Captain Andy Math? We got some Andy Math right here.
Andy Math.
New Math. All right. Remember he said airplanes just don't blow up in flight out of like no reason. It just doesn't happen.
Right. There's always going to be like a reason for it.
Yeah. Like there might be a small fire, but they don't blow up. All right. The claim that an empty center fuel tank exploded doesn't pass the sniff test. Ooh, the sniff test. I like this. All right. So he says, on a daily basis, there are about 45,000 commercial airline jet planes that departure every day in the U.S. And most of these planes fly around with empty center fuel tanks, while the main wing tanks, which always start off with fuel, are nearly depleted upon landing. So, like, he's already questioning that. And he says, all right, since the first American jetliner entered into service in 1958, some 38 years before the loss of TWA Flight 800, airliners were always flying around with empty or near-empty fuel tanks. So he did some simple Andy math in his mind. Some Andy math. Shout out to Andy math. Hundreds of millions of flights flew around the U.S. between 1958 and 1996 and never exploded in midair because of a combustible mixture of fuel vapors triggered by an explosion in the center fuel tanks. This has never happened.
So this would be like a once-in-a-lifetime thing?
Yes.
Or it's full of bullshit?
Yeah, so it's like, all right, so why is this the first plane ever that has supposedly, like, changed the whole construction of planes? Like, it's happened once. Like, once, like, our old friend Sarah used to say, one time that happened.
One time that happened,
and
yes.
Everything has changed because of that one time. So, like, yeah, This is, like, haven right here.
It is haven. And I gotta say, this, like, I enjoy the whole theory in, Final Destination, where it's like, okay, well, death was just meant to claim all these people, and then it goes back and tries to claim the people that escaped it.
Yes.
So, like, going with that supernatural take on things, I really do kind of enjoy, this is, like, going off on a tangent, but...
We love tangents. Our podcast is solely based on tangents.
Yeah, so, yes. Like, assuming that death wanted to claim the passengers...
Tangent terrarium.
Oh my god, that's fantastic. Yes, tangent terrarium. So, going off on that tangent terrarium of, you know, death just wanted to claim these passengers and would find a way to do it. Life finds a way to do it. Like, the whole fact that in Final Destination, the main character, Alex, his dad is played by another... is played by an actor who... he also plays, the actor plays a character on multiple episodes of The X-Files where he has telekinetic abilities that he can make people see or think things that he convinces them of. It's called The Pusher.
Yes.
Look it up.
Hot episode of The X-Files. One of the hottest episodes to date.
Like, seriously, he could have, like, gotten a hot scoop about death wanting to kill all these people, and he just, like, projected his thoughts into his son, and that's why Alex, like, foresaw the explosion of the plane, and he got off, and a bunch of other people got off.
So
yeah.
Are you saying that the movie Final Destination is a prequel to the Pusher episode of The X-Files?
I really think so. I think it's an origin story for his, that character. Ooh. Of The X-Files. Like, he formerly had this, like, wife and this son and this family, and he was happy, and then this fucking plane explosion happened, and it fucking kind of warped everything, and his wife left him, and he ended up alone, and then he just started taking his powers, because basically the whole thing just, like, destroyed his son's lives and all of his friends' lives who, you know, basically died. And he, like, just after everybody around him died, after, like, all this horrible shit happened, he just went and just started, like, using these powers for more evil purposes because he couldn't fucking handle the fact that his son had died, even though he had telepathically, like, warned him about the situation with the plane.
Someone get Chris Carter on the horn because Jill's got some fucking data.
Yeah.
She's got some fucking data, girl. All right, all right. X-Files, hot scoop. You heard it here first. Final Destination is a prequel to the Pusher episode of the X-Files. classic episodes. By the way, he came back in like a second one involved his sister, right? What was the thing? Like Virilium?
In the first episode, he like gets captured by police. He's like seriously like shopping for protein drinks because he needs to like fuel up before he can, you know, push people.
Yeah, it's mentally, mentally capacitated.
Yeah.
Decapacitating?
Incapacitated.
Thank you.
There we go. Thank you, scientist.
Sometimes, you know, sometimes we're too drunk to talk.
Yeah. So he's like in the store and he's got like all these protein shakes and shit that he's loaded up into his little hand cart. And he's behind this guy wearing this like blue jacket and he's just like got this smirk on his face because he knows what's happening. He's like, oh, dude, I'm totally surrounded by FBI agents right now. And he just pulls off the little like tag on the back of the guy's jacket to cover up the FBI logo. And he's like, yeah, let's just get this going. I'm so fucking bored with this. We're done. Boom. Okay, now you can fucking arrest me. And he gets in the cop car and there's like this rookie cop that's actually driving and this more experienced cop in the passenger seat who's been like working on this case forever. And the guy in the back seat, he's just fucking talking and he's just talking shit. And he's just like, so I really like this color blue, this like Virulian blue. Cerulean blue cerulean or some blue. Shit like that. And they're at a stop sign. He's like, I think it's the most calming color of blue. It's like a light breeze. It's so fucking calming. And like, you just gotta love this color blue. And there's this truck coming that has the word on the side of it. And it's like this like water truck or gas truck or some shit. It's like this big tractor trailer. And it's got that word on the side of it. And it's a blue colored truck. And he just like keeps like repeating the words over and over. And then all of a sudden the truck just fucking disappears in the eyes of the driver. And he just pulls out in front of this truck. And it fucking just destroys the cop car. And he gets away. And he's like, boom. I was bored with this plot line. I knew it could happen, and I'm just gonna fucking run away now.
Can I add? All right, this adds to Patrick's paranoia.
Okay.
Whenever I am at a red light, and you know, you can like make a right, you can make a right on red.
Yes.
I always think of this episode of The X-Files, and they go, "All right, is there like someone behind me that is like pushing that it's okay to go?" I just always think it. And then I'm like, no, Patrick, just go. Just fucking pull out and go. And then I'm like, no. What if I get hit? So I gotta sit there and wait. And then I like hear people behind me beeping. So it's a tough struggle. It's a tough struggle.
Pull out and go. That sounds very similar to like your theory on the Catholic method.
Pull out and pray. Yeah.
All right. The Catholic method of birth control.
Sexy method. Yeah. All right. Are you ready for the end? Are you ready for the end of our conspiracy? I think we should wrap this up.
Conspiracy Cove. Let's do it.
Yeah, we need to paddle out to mainland. Maybe get some vittles. Yes. Go to Ralph's.
Kibbles and bits.
Yeah. All right. So November 8th, 1996. Days after Clinton was elected for a second term. The FBI assistant director, the then FBI assistant director, Jim Kallstrom, was forced to hold a press conference denouncing the mushrooming conspiracy theory that the U.S. government was involved. Ooh. Ooh. So, these are his words. What we can say is that the United States military did not shoot a missile at this airplane. The United States military did not shoot anything. Nothing like that has ever taken place. Would ever take place under any circumstances. So, like, super defensive. Like, super, super defensive.
Yeah,
it like, kind of makes too you... too defensive.
Yeah, like, he's applying, this has never happened, this has never happened before, this has never happened now, and this will never, ever happen. What girl, what? Okay. So, we're gonna flash forward a little bit. In 2013, a group calling itself the TWA 800 Project. Project. Composed of some surviving family members, as well as skeptics, they petitioned the National Transportation Safety Board for a new investigation. A whole new investigation, guys. A whole new one. They insisted that a detonation or a very high-velocity explosion caused the crash. So, like, something other than a faulty wire.
Right.
1 year later, in 2014, the NTSB denied the request. They were like, nope. This did not happen.
We're not fucking doing it.
All right. So before responding to the petition, NBA staff met with petitioners, representatives, and they were like, all right, we're going to listen to what you have to say. We'll, like, hear you out. Whatever. Like, okay. So After a thorough review of all the information provided by the petitioners, the NTSB denied the petition in its entirety, in its whole entirety. They fucking denounced everything. Because the evidence and analysis presented did not show the original findings were incorrect. Author, the Cashel who wrote this book that came out in 2016 that I previously aforementioned, he doesn't offer a definitive alternate cause, but the strongest portion of his book are reprints of multiple accounts, witness accounts. 700 people in the Long Island area, 258 of them told investigators they'd seen a streak of white light approaching the aircraft before the explosion. A few witnesses used the word rocket or missile in describing what they saw. I don't know how many were few out of the 258. We don't know.
Right.
But these vivid firsthand accounts remain in stark contrast to the final report. And at the time, every possibility was investigated. They fucking apparently did everything. They looked at every fucking angle.
Yeah, but who knows what they're withholding after those investigations. They might be withholding some aspects of the
truth. We don't know. But so allegedly, the government rented. They fucking went to Boeing hey, can we rent a 747? We want to recreate this flight. Let's do it, girl. Let's do it. Let's fucking take a 747. Let's fly it somewhere. Let's find some 70-degree weather, same wind conditions. Let's fly it over the ocean or whatever. They wanted to recreate it. And they placed a bomb in the plane, and they launched missiles, from the same direction, allegedly. And they had, witnesses from, the same distance away to see if, they could figure it out. Hey, can you see these missiles shooting upward? And guess what? They saw the fucking missiles, girl. They saw the missiles.
Of course.
They saw the missiles go up. And years later, one of Clinton, our homeboy, Bill Clinton, you know him. You know and love him from presidency.
I don't know if I love him, but I know him.
His chief of staff at the time said, hey, terrorism is a likely suspect. I think he was out of the norm. He's like, hey, terrorism is, it's 1996. Terrorism is new to us. We don't
Yeah.
It's not terrorism struck.
Yeah, we've had some serious good years right now, and maybe we need to explore these options that somebody's pissed about our good years.
Don't terrorists generally to claim these?
Yes. So that was one of
That's
the things.
That's a very good point.
That was one of the things is that but terrorism was kind of new to the American public. So they didn't know. That's a thing.
So you think maybe it could be a conspiracy that maybe there was a terrorist organization that took claim for it, but the footage wasn't released?
I mean, it's possible, but government? Now it's you hear about a shooting and it's
so-and-so is I did it!
ISIS is it was us, it was one of our lone wolves or something.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure terrorists take ownership to things that weren't them.
Yeah, just to make it seem like they have more power than they actually do, so that they seem like a bigger threat.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
So it's definitely a thing. So they consider terrorism as a threat, because terrorism was a new wolf to us. It was a new threat. We didn't know about it. So
right. America was still in its baby years in regards to terrorism.
Yeah. So we looked at Iraq. We were is Saddam Hussein behind this? Is Iran behind this? So many possibilities. It just kind of makes the conspiracy theory linger.
It
doesn't conclude it, but it adds to it.
Right. It adds to all the fuel on the fire for various conspiracy theorists.
But then you add it into the local people who witnessed it. And we're we saw a rocket propel highward. So it's kind of weird. So it's all right, were there terrorists in our midst that we didn't know about? So there's a lot going on. So this is this is a tough thing to debunk.
Right.
I don't think it's definitive. It's a mystery that we'll probably wonder forever, I think. We'll never get an answer.
It's true.
Well, unfortunately, there's going to be theories until...
Till the end of time.
Till the end of time.
Yeah, because there's no way to turn back time. Turn back.
Despite Cher, despite our girl, our homegirl Cher, can you come on the podcast? Wear your little butt skirt thing that you whatever.
Oh,
she
the sequin, oh. Yeah. The sequin negligee basically. Yeah.
Oh no, yeah. She's gonna change outfits 10 times throughout the podcast.
We would only anticipate that. That would be phenomenal.
Can she wear that little that thing? She that tall headdress that she has on at the Oscars.
She was pre Lady Gaga, the one who wowed everybody with her. her costume changes and shit. Way to go, Cher, for being like a trendsetter with that.
You know, forget everything we talk about we're going to watch after. We should watch Mermaids.
Ooh.
Yeah. With Winona Ryder, Gal Pal material.
Yeah. Gal Pal, Winona Ryder.
Yeah. Ooh. Cher and
Winona Ryder, if you're listening to this podcast.
Yeah, tweet us.
Tweet us, motherfucker.
Yeah. Tell us like what it was like hanging out with Cher and her like fun costume changes. Yeah,
seriously. Tell us what it was like on Stranger Things. I'm all about
Yeah, the blinking lights.
Yeah.
Beetlejuice.
Yeah, Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice.
Reality Bites with Ben Stiller and Janine Garaff.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, but...
Ethan Hawke.
Seriously, Beetlejuice, tell us what it was like working with him.
Yeah, did you ever see a ghost on the set? You don't know? Yeah. Tweet us. All right.
Right. Michael Keaton, yes.
Yeah, the real Batman. The
best
real Batman.
Best Batman ever.
Yeah, BBE.
Sorry, Adam West.
Brett Easton Ellis. That's the wrong letters. Yes. All right.
Nice try.
Any last minute thoughts on TWA Flight 800? We covered a lot of ground. We got into the Clinton and Min. We got into... Devon Sawa.
Yeah.
X-Files.
I gotta say, I feel like this could lead into... future podcasts, because there are other like very unexplained plane crashes or disappearances.
Oh, Malaysia.
Malaysian flight.
Yeah.
Yes. I think this could like lead into that. What if this was like the beginning of some serious like tech to try and disappear a plane?
Oh.
And it just malfunctioned and blew it up instead of like disappearing it.
Like mass disappearances?
Right. Like seriously, this could seriously be the beginning of something huge that we need to get into.
Yeah. And like, what if there's something... that they're like they want us to forget.
Ooh.
Ooh, like what could possibly make us forget? I don't know.
I mean, David Duchovny wearing just a teacup could make us forget anything.
Ooh, yeah. What about his like a red Speedo in that one episode of the X-Files?
Ooh,
like,
ooh, yeah. I don't know. I have a weird history with Speedos. I think the teacup's better.
Okay. Teacup's well, better. I don't know. I mean, like they're both.
They're both like sexy covering, time things.
Yeah. Sexy time. This is a sexy time segment.
It really is.
All right.
We need some like meow, music over the background.
David Duchovny, if you listen to this, send us a hot gif.
Yes.
Have you like
T-cup included?
Your hips. Yeah. Hips don't lie. Shakira.
We want the triple X files.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
Nicely said.
Yeah. All right. So. What should we do next week? Because I feel like we've exhausted all our efforts on TWA Flight 800. Unless you have anything to add, join our Facebook group.
The next episode, considering this dealt with planes, probably should involve chemtrails.
Ooh.
I mean, what if this was like a chemtrail malfunction?
Oh, you know what? I never thought of that.
Yeah, Jill. Like, okay, so it was a passenger flight, but maybe they were trying to implement the chemtrail technology into a passenger flight because there's lots more of those happening on a daily basis.
Like, they put too many chems in the plane.
Right, and it just, like, blew up with the ratio of, like, chemtrail, like, technology versus the actual fuel level. So because of the size of the plane and the fact that it was a passenger plane, maybe it didn't work out right. And this was like the initial test of it and it went horribly wrong.
Yeah, this could be like the first chemtrail experiment ever. Like MSNBC was launched on July 14th.
It's
July 17th, a chemtrail explosion over Long Island. And now...
Now we're just like mind controlled.
Yeah, like now we're like now we're arguing over like nothing. We're like we get mad because someone said something on Facebook. Right. And
yeah,
I don't know. My final thought is that because this TWA flight left from JFK Airport is part of the JFK curse.
Oh,
ooh,
call
Kennedy
back to
curse.
Episode one. Yeah.
Woo-woo.
Yeah. All right. We were gonna like make you non-existent anymore because you're a meseek, right?
Right. Yeah, you're a meseek. Existence is pain for you, scientist.
But you know what? You might have just like reinvigorated your purpose.
We might have to hit that button one more time.
You know how to bring me back.
Yeah, all right. But do we lose your thoughts? Do we lose your thoughts, though?
Yeah, because he's a whole new entity.
Okay, so we have to start, fresh.
It's not the same one. Well, it's like a different one that's created because they all have like different hairstyles. Some of them have facial hair.
Do we
want to
keep
glasses?
His train of thoughts like enhanced, though. Do we want to keep his train of thoughts? Should we keep him on the island?
I think we might need to keep him on the
All right, well,
existence is already painful right now.
All right, well, we need more coconut cream pies. And we'll struggle. We'll figure it out. We'll make it work. Join us next week on Red Wine Mystery Stories,
where we talk about chemtrails and maybe the correlation between chemtrails and TWA flight.
Maybe. 800. Or maybe something completely different. Who knows?
Yeah.
All right. Because we might escape from the cove, but we have to lie.
It's
to
true. Lie.
So who knows? Yeah. So join us. And as always, watch the skies.
Deuces.